This episode of It's Super Effective is brought to you by SteamWorld Dig, the indie and handheld game of the year for 3DS and Steam. SteamWorld Dig is a platform mining adventure. Take the role of Rusty, a lonely mining steambot, as he arrives into an old mining town in great need. Dig your way through the old earth, gaining riches while uncovering the ancient threat that lurks below. Get SteamWorld Dig today on Steam or in the Nintendo eShop on your 3DS.
Welcome to the 133rd episode of the Pokemon Podcast. My name is not S-E-J. My name is Travis. Steve is on assignment. Gosh, I usually make up something, but I'm drawing a blank right now. Steve is on assignment, getting the ninth badge in Kalos. No one's told him that there's only eight. I am joined by two great individuals, the first being Kenny. How are you, Kenny?
I am doing fantastic, thank you. But I'm in the presence of Trap 12. How could I not be doing fantastic?
Oh, gosh. And Andrew is here as well.
Oh, hey, guys. I just got this lovely bird calendar for 2014, and it's making me really happy. So I'm in a good mood.
Is there a joke there? Is that just real?
No. I can take a picture and show you later. It's a bird calendar.
I want to see it.
Can I have one? What month is Talonflame?
Probably somewhere in July.
Okay.
The summer month.
For this week's installment of Healthy Living.
Yes.
Kenny, what is it you're eating right now?
I'm not eating anything. I was eating spaghetti.
You were eating spaghetti.
Let's talk
about the carbohydrates in that spaghetti. Because I think it's a little too high unless you're you know, having some... I don't know, are there carb low noodles? I don't think so. I would need Will on this to let me know.
There's veggie pasta. It's healthier.
So I think, Kenny, I think for the sake of the healthy living segment on Pokemon Podcast, I'd urge you to lower your carbohydrate intake.
Well, thank you. This just in, Travis thinks I'm fat.
No! Uh-huh. I didn't say that.
I'm gonna interpret it as I will, though. All that working out apparently doesn't mean anything to Draft 12.
You look really good lately, Kenny.
Thank you.
moving on to the news. Our first news item. Oh gosh, what was the first one? Oh yes, PokeBank has been released in Japan and in other regions within Asia, Korea being one of them. I think most of the Asian markets have PokeBank at this point, still nowhere outside of Asia, though. This should make it so there isn't such an extremely high, demand-supply ratio because of just how quickly PokeBank was shut down after it was opened briefly in those locations. So now there should be a lot more PokeBank Pokemon coming in even before we get it, so it should be a little easier to get PokeBank Pokemon. Either of you have any guesses when we'll see it outside of Asia?
I'm going to guess
race first in 2,000 years.
I'm going to give it a moth.
First I thought you said a moth, and I was like, Venomoth.
I'm going to give it a Mothim.
Okay,
no, don't make Mothim.
No, yeah, it's just a moth.
It's just a moth.
A lot of Pokemon are just a, and then the species.
Are just a.
Yep, they're just a. The great just a type Pokemon, Mothim.
Yeah.
You got Mothim, you got Ponyta.
Goomy.
Goomy.
What is Goomy just a? Just a Goom?
Just a Goomy. I'm just a Goomy, yeah, hello.
Yeah, hello, I'm Goomy. So that's cool. We might be getting PokeBank at some point. Sometime.
In the future, maybe.
Shedding a single tear.
I just stop caring at this point.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to be done in just in X and Y. There's a lot of Pokemon you can be breeding. You start breeding, you start breeding Furfru. You start breeding Carbink. You get to sort of the bottom of the barrel.
Furfru and Carbink are the two best Pokemon ever.
I like the both of them, but they don't really do much. Gosh, our next bit of newsy news. Our next bit of news is that...
No.
The cloning thing.
Oh.
Our next bit of news is that this isn't a glitch that I've heard of, but Kenny and Andy, you were saying there's some glitch people found in the game that actually lets you clone Pokemon.
Yes.
What if you want to tell me how it works?
Alright, you want to go or you want me to?
I will do this.
Alright, go ahead.
For those of you who have no idea how to clone Pokemon in X and Y, basically you need two 3DSs, one with both X and Y. Doesn't matter which two games, just has to be Gen 6 game. And basically what you want to do is, it's a very convoluted process that takes precise timing and a Pokemon that you want to lose to clone one that you want to be cloned. So basically you start on, I know how to do it, it's just hard to explain without like seeing a visual. Start the trade on the 3DS of the Pokemon that doesn't have, on the 3DS that doesn't have the cloned Pokemon. So say you're on infrared, not Wi-Fi. You start the trade on the 3DS that does not have the cloned Pokemon and the one that you want the cloned Pokemon onto. Then you start it with the one that has the clone, the one that you want cloned. And then from there, it brings up the trade menu, whatever. And you offer up a Pokemon that you don't want anymore, one that'll just be completely erased from all of humanity. And then you offer up...
Oh! You're so clever, Trap 12.
Thanks.
Trap 12.
Oh, gosh.
And then on the other 3DS, you offer up the Pokemon that you want cloned. So after those, you offer those both up for trade. Right before that blue screen comes back up, you have to make sure you're paying attention to that blue trade screen. And you have to wait at least 4.5 seconds, I've heard, is probably the longest you want to wait.
It's like exactly 4.5 seconds.
Yeah. And you cut off the power to the one that that's receiving the Pokemon that you don't want anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So say you sent over like a Spupa.
Yeah.
In return for like a Genesect or whatever like that. You turn off the 3DS that the Spupa is going to after 4.5 seconds after that blue screen come on. And if you did it right, you're going to get this black screen. I wouldn't say do it right because it could still like trade normally or just not trade at all. And you'll get this black screen that'll kick you back to the main 3DS menu, or you'll just get this communication error like you close your 3DS where you're playing the game and you're on the PSS, that means you did it wrong. If you just get a communication error, you want a black screen.
You have to get the black screen. And it says, like, an error has occurred, please end the game or something like that. So,
yeah. Don't get freaked out. That means you probably did it right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to take a lot of trial and error, and it's really, really frustrating at first, and I still don't have like perfect time in because I don't use like a stopwatch. I just count 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi.
Let's take a poll. What multisyllabic word do each of us use to count seconds? I personally say 1/1,000.
Me too.
Andy, you're the odd one out.
That can work too. But that's basically how you do it. There used to be this other process that involved 1 3DS and some SD card method, but that was really complicated, and I'm not sure how that one worked. So but that one's no longer available to be used because they patched that one in 1.2 for some reason, but not this one. And make sure, just another thing, is you can't do this over internet, just over just local wireless.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is the sort of thing, well, first of all, this is like dubious doings, right? Bastardly deeds.
Yes.
Yeah, it's generally frowned upon.
But additionally, I would not be astonished if the next update for the game would fix that bug, given the sorts of things that have been fixed in these updates, like the glitch where your save gets corrupted in Lumios, or what was the glitch where something about items were, or moves were learned?
Moves weren't learned on Wonder Trade.
Right. I'm guessing that that's the sort of thing that they'll fix pretty soon.
Wait,
the
what
next
was
update.
That one? I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, there's something about, like, when you did Wonder Trade, certain moves weren't learned when, like, if the Pokemon were to evolve when it was traded or something. Is that what it was?
Like Gorgeist or Travenant?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've done it, like, a lot. And, yeah, I guess you could say it breaks the Pokemon economy and it's so evil. But let me remind you, the Pokemon economy has been broken since Gen 4 with Action Replay. And that
Pokemon
GPS.
Pokemon economy. The NASDAQ of the Poke economy is up this week. This just becomes a Poke Stocks podcast. It's a snubble market. Yup. I can leave now.
All right, Travis.
The joke out of here. See you later. This has been another episode.
Yeah.
Man, I think I won, right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. So is that all the details of this cloning glitch?
Basically it. And yeah. if you mess up, there's not really that much of a problem. The most that'll mess up is actually just go through and trade normally.
Oh.
It won't, like, erase or save data or anything, because I've done it for, like, at least a month now.
Oh, really?
And I haven't had any problems data-wise or stuff like that, so you're fine. Just as long as you don't change up what I said. Like, don't wait longer than 4.5. Don't turn off both 3DSs. Don't turn off the wrong 3DS.
Disclaimer, we at the Pokemon Podcast do not encourage the abuse of glitches in the Pokemon X and Y game, nor any video game title. We set to move on. Kenny, you were saying something about there's a new manga series for Pokemon in Japan that's based around the TCG?
Yeah, I can't read Japanese, but I was just kind of looking through it. If you go on the site, they have two little, excerpts from it. And it actually looks, I'm not going to lie, I would read it. I mean, you know, I hate comparing things to other things, but it's really kind of got, like, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Feel to it. Like, if you look at it, like, let me open it back up. It looks like it's Kalem and Professor Sycamore fighting. I mean, they might have different names. It's very, very, like, traditionally, like, quirky, super goofy Japanese, you know what I mean? Like, everything's way over the top and stuff. And, like, Kalem puts down a card and, like, a Talonflame flies out of it and it flies into the Chestnut. And, like, the Chestnut catches on fire and stuff. And,
Rest in peace, Chestnut.
Yeah,
Chestnut's roasted on an open fire.
But, yeah, it just very much looks like some weird Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh! Crossover thing. And, I mean, just in the style that's laid out, but sorry, I keep rambling.
No, I think it's cool. I mean,
I would read it if it came out.
I don't play the TCG actively, but it looks interesting. I would honestly be surprised if it got any sort of localization. It sounds like the sort of thing that would just be
yeah, it probably won't, but if somebody ever translates it,
right,
that'd be awesome. But the official name of it is, let's see, roughly translated into English, it is, Let's Play the Pokemon Card Game XY!
Okay!
Yeah! And it's, it appeared first on PokemonCard.com, which is the official Japanese website for Pokemon TCG. And it looks like some previews were released with, like, certain magazines and online and stuff. So, yeah, if you live in Japan or you can read Japanese, look forward to that.
Do you want me to predict what the naysayers' reactions to this are going to be?
What?
What's next? A manga about people watching the TV show?
I would watch a manga about people watching the TV show.
All right.
Hey, you Pikachu manga.
Oh, that was some bad lag. It is like, hey, you Pikachu manga. Like, you sounded like you were in pain.
It hurts. All those hours I had to play Hey You Pikachu. I've never played Hey You Pikachu. I'm not going to lie.
The closest I've gotten to Hey You Pikachu is Pokemon Channel, and that's not Hey You Pikachu. It's 10 times better than Hey You Pikachu, but still pretty bad.
I mean, it was a really cool concept.
It was,
like,
yeah.
The microphone just did not work like it was supposed to, and like the AI was wonky. You'd be like, Pikachu, pick up the apple, and you'd like walk off.
Our next news item is something small that I just thought was cool. The same, what looks, I think if I'm interpreting this correctly, what looks to be the same Vivillon card has different artwork with a couple different Vivillon patterns. Which I think is cool that they have some of the game mechanics move over the TCG. I thought it was cool. That's our last tiny little news item.
News item?
You know what?
What? What, Trap 12?
I don't know.
I love you, Trap 12. Don't worry.
I love you too, Kenny. Well, we're going to be right back, and when we get to the middle segment, we're talking about little sort of tips and tricks and ways to make the most of your copy of X and Y, find ways to find shinies, get the most money in the least amount of time, that sort of thing. So we'll see you on the other side of a break. And we back from our break, and we're going to talk about little sorts of tricks and ways to be more efficient and in the post game of X and Y, and sort of making competitive teams, earning some extra money, leveling up your Pokemon, and that sort of thing. The first one I want to talk about, which is probably my favorite because it's sort of I actually enjoy it, is that in this game, as opposed to running through the Elite Four, that sort of thing, definitely the best way to both level up your Pokemon and earn some Pokédollars on the side would be to challenge the restaurants in Lumio City, either of the three-star, either the sushi one or Restaurant Le Wow. I believe they have about the same in terms of what you're rewarded with, although Restaurant Le Wow is easier. Unless I'm mistaken, the sushi one does give you a lot more.
Sushi High Roller, I think, gives you big nuggets.
Uh-huh.
And then Le Wow gives you bomb mushrooms.
Right. And but I guess bomb mushrooms
sushi,
really are more than big.
Sushi High Roller is way more expensive, so I think big nuggets are more.
And what you do is you activate your level up and what's the other one? Level up and prize money O-powers.
Prize money power.
Either by having someone give them to you or just using them on yourself. And then you talk to the receptionist at the restaurant Le Wow. And that, even though it's only a 3-minute buff, it'll last the whole time because something about this, how that's a scripted event means that each one of those battles will get the bonus from those O-powers.
Yeah.
How the restaurant works is you're given a set number of turns to defeat your opponent. The premise is that you it takes that many turns for your current course to be at the right temperature for you to eat it is the gimmick. And so you can either do double battles, triple battles, or rotation battles. I've found that rotation battles can be the easiest in terms of getting it closer to the target turn, although there are occasions when one of the Pokemon will use Protect and you're sort
That's so annoying.
Can I add something really quick?
Yeah.
Give your Pokemon an Amulet Coin or the Luck Incense.
Yeah, Luck Incense on the one you're trying to level up an Amulet Coin on.
Well, the Luck Incense is money.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry, yeah. The Lucky Egg is what I was thinking of. Lucky Egg on the Pokemon that you're trying to level up, and then Amulet Coin or Luck Incense for the ones that are in the battle, so you get some even more Poke Dollars. And it's surprising how quickly you can level up Pokemon this way, especially if they start at a low level.
Uh-huh.
You can really save some time this way and earn a lot of money. It'll seem like at first like maybe you're not, because it costs, what, 50,000, or is it even more than that? Something around that. Mm-hmm. Just to challenge the restaurant. But the prize money you're getting for beating the trainers, plus if you do at least decently, you're going to be getting more of the balm mushrooms. Significantly more money from the balm mushrooms than it costs to enter.
Is it just me, or do I always end up with 29?
You must do a lot better than I do, because I end up with around 22.
Oh.
I can't get myself to do it, because I won't sell items. I've never sold a single item.
Why?
And it does, because I like to collect things.
But all,
I know,
all
I know.
Those balm, you can't just keep one balm mushroom?
No. I need as many. I buy I only use Pokeballs, and I always buy them 10 at a time so I can get Premier Balls.
You can just buy Premier Balls on their own.
But I like to know how many Pokeballs I bought total.
Okay.
I am so weird about items, and everyone thinks it's dumb, and it is dumb, but I can't help it.
Cool.
I like the Battle Chateau. I like challenging. I like the music from the champion and stuff, and it's just really exciting. So you almost get as much once you're like a Grand Duke or Grand Duchess. So even though it's not as much, I still have more fun doing that.
Can we have a chat about how the business practices at the restaurants are awful?
Okay.
Because not only is it just bad in terms of their own profit margins that they are giving you, not only are you only encouraged to tip an insanely small fraction of the amount of money that the servers are paying you for some reason, that's weird. But also, you're just getting more money from them. They're giving you this insanely valuable item, just a stack of it, at the end. They're going to be bankrupt in a matter of days.
I always just assumed that everyone else was really bad at it.
But besides that, they're just a horrible restaurant, because it's you're supposed to serve the meal when it's at the temperature to be eaten.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't go to a restaurant, have the server come out and be like, no, don't eat it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, and just look and salivate for a while.
Well,
and
I would do it if it was like, yeah, get into a fist fight with me, I'll give you money.
But what if you lose? Like, there's always if you lose to the person, then you're mad and at the restaurant, and you're only mad because you went to the restaurant.
Yeah, but
this is not a good.
Even if you get beaten up badly, what Pokemon has taught me is that eating food will make you 100% better. Even if you've been frozen solid or burnt or poisoned, just eat the food and it'll be okay.
Drink some lemonade.
Limonade.
Exactly. I don't know. I just don't see this as being a sustainable business model, personally.
Well, this is why you're not in the Pokemon world.
Wait, if I did believe it were a proper business model, I would just be teleported into the Pokemon world?
Yeah.
So are you already there?
I've been there. I went back. I came back to do the show, yeah.
Why would you come back?
To do the show.
Oh.
What's going on? I spaced out.
Kenny lives in what region do you live in, Kenny?
I live in Sinnoh.
Kenny lives in Sinnoh now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What if
he were just a person that lives in a house in Sinnoh but has no Pokemon?
This would be cool.
Like, he just lives in Orberg. He's a minor.
I don't want to live in Orberg.
He's a minor in Orberg.
Although Orberg's...
Like, oh, I really wish I had some Machop to help me out here.
Do I sound like that now?
Breathing in all that coal.
I would live in the city that I've made up that has Meryl, Countin, and Gumi and Snivy. They all live together.
Do you want to give us a reprise of that Gumi voice?
Yeah, hello, I'm Gumi. I live with Meryl in village. And then Meryl's an accountant, and he talks like this.
Good.
My name is Meryl, and I have a wife named Meryl. I have three children named Azurul, Azurul, and Azurul. And we're a very happy family. I'm an accountant. Meryl voice was way before Gumi voice.
What does the Snivy sound like?
I can't actually do the accent very well, so I'm just like, I'm Snivy. I'm Snivy. How's it going?
Have you heard Servine in the anime?
No.
Stupid one, Servine.
Servine. I mean, think Behemazor, so. It's like the worst sounding ever.
Is it just like laser sounds?
Look it up.
Will do. Can it really be worse than the sound that the Regis make?
No, the Regis are the best.
The Regis make scary noises.
Our next item on our list of tips and tricks is a way to EV train your Pokemon quickly. Of course, you're going to want to do the stuff you've been doing for however long Pokerus has been a thing. I think, is Gen 4 the first time it has?
Gen 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, look at me making mistakes. So you're going to want to give your Pokemon Pokerus, which is a randomly occurring... the game refers to it as a virus that will infect one of your Pokemon for...
I think it's a day.
Yeah, what happens if a Pokemon's infected with Pokerus and it gets past midnight and it's still in your party, then it still has the effects of Pokerus, but it will no longer be infectious. It won't be able to infect other Pokemon in your party. What the virus does is it only does good things. It doubles the EVs that your Pokemon would earn by making a Pokemon faint. If you're unfamiliar with EVs, we won't get into that in this episode.
You don't have to knock out the Pokemon to get EVs.
You could also catch them.
Yeah. Or as long as they're in the battle.
As long as you get experience in some way. I should have said that.
With the EXP shares on.
Right.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that in case somebody just started it.
Yeah, that's a good clarification. If you're unfamiliar with the EV system, and maybe we'll do that in a later episode, but for now we'll get to just how to do it, how to EV train quickly. There are lots of guides that explain what EVs do and why it's worth caring about them. But a quick way to EV train in X and Y specifically, give the Pokemon you are trying to train Pokerus, give it the respective power item. So if you're training for speed, give it the power anklet, attack the power brace. I don't know. But you
Lens is special attack.
Yeah.
And anklet is speed.
And it says on them what it's going to do, which stat it's going to do.
And those are all at the Battle Mason for 16 BP.
Right. And so once you've done that, you get a Pokemon, you either buy a bunch of honey, which is sort of the inefficient way to do it, or you get a Pokemon and teach it Sweet Scent, which is a move that can be used outside of battle, and when it's used in grass where there are hordes, it always calls a horde.
Yeah.
I think the quickest way to get a Sweet Center is going to the Parfum Palace and finding an Oddish in that the grass over there, where you can find Venoshock.
You also can, I know that that Venusaur learns it, if you pick that as your starter, it's very useful for that sort of thing. And so you go into the grass, you use Sweet Scent, it calls in a horde. You can look online where what routes you should do it in. There's one that has a whole bunch of Wingull, which is speed. There's one that has a whole bunch of Carbink, I believe, which is... Or, no,
it's Mime Jr.
Right.
I was going to say, I've never run to a Carbink Swarm.
Carbink Swarms show up with, I think it's Roggenrola.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. It'll be like one Carbink and a horde of Roggenrola.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
And so then you just use a Pokemon that has a spread move that hits all of them, take them all out in the one hit. And then if we assume that the Pokemon in the horde has a 1 EV yield in the desired stat, then you're getting, what is 10 for each, 10. Right?
Yeah.
10 for each, which, how many are there in a horde? 5?
50. You're getting 50 EVs in one.
Yeah. At first I thought you were saying there are 50 in a horde. I'd be like, that would be the most insane horde ever.
And
so every turn would take, like, forever.
They all just use, like, beat up or something, so it takes...
Oh, no!
That's what Horde of Houndor should have done, is beat up.
Yeah, come on, Game Freak. And so then, after you've done 5 hordes, you have 250 EVs. Your goal is to get 252, usually, in a stat, so you can either use the super training punching bags to get those last 2, or just fight a Pokemon with an EV yield of 1 without any item.
Yeah.
Because you have Pokerus.
Can I give you, like, a specific Pokemon and where to find them?
Go for it.
Okay, I found it most easy with me because I'm usually always by the daycare. And if you want to train in HP, you want to go to the route the one where you find Pancham for the first time and Furfrou. I forgot that route name.
Yeah,
but it's like right after Lumio City. You can find hordes of Gulpin there. That's for HP. And in that same route, you can find hordes of Scraggy. That's for attack. And then if you go to the route with the daycare, you can find hordes of Hoppip, and that's special defense. Special attack, you can go to Frost Cavern. You can find Vanillite there. Those give you special attack. Special defense, you can go to Reflection Cave, and that gives you hordes of Mime Jr. And, that's another special defense one. Speed, you can go to, that route. It's on the coastal side of Kumarine City.
Yeah.
That city where you take the trolley up there. Mm-hmm. And before that, you can find, like, the Go-Goat Ranch and stuff
like
that.
Route 6, I believe.
Yeah, the place with the Go-Goat Ranch, you could find hordes of Wingull there. That'll give you speed EVs. Is that all the stats?
I believe you went through all of them. Yeah.
Defense, you can go Terminus Cave, and you can find hordes of Durant. Those actually give you 2 to 1 EVs each time, so...
So that would be 12.
Yeah, possibly 12.
Yeah. Well, I meant for people who didn't know.
Oh,
like,
okay.
If you had the item in Pokerus, it would be 12.
Wouldn't it... Wait. It would be 12, yeah.
Yeah, it's the way everything's calculated. It wouldn't be...
Yeah, because it's the power item makes it 4 plus the original, so you get 6, then double it with.
Yeah.
And I guess, Geodude would do the same thing, but fighting hordes of Geodude is super annoying because they all have Sturdy.
Yeah.
And that's not just very efficient for me, so I just run until I find hordes of Durant.
Yeah, Roggenrola do the same thing.
Yeah.
You can also, another little trick is you can use hordes to increase the rate at which you're seeing Pokemon so that you can maybe find a shiny more quickly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
which would be very unfortunate for EV training.
Yeah. Because then you have to catch it and you have to probably mess up
your spread.
Yeah.
Especially if you run into, I think it's the horde of Carbink and Roggenrola.
Yeah.
I think Carbink gives you special defense, and I think
Carbink gives each, maybe.
I thought his defense stats were equal. I don't know. Let me look it up, because I'm curious now, too.
It has 150 in both of its defenses, and I believe 50 in HP. But yeah, like, it's...
It could potentially mess up your spread, which is, yeah.
But I mean, for a shiny Carbink...
What does shiny Carbink even look like? I don't know.
I believe it has purple little gems. I might be mistaken. Another way to get shinies is to do chain fishing. I'm not sure. I don't think we've talked about that on the show. Have either of you done much chain fishing?
No. Yeah.
Andy, you want to run us through it?
Sure. In X and Y, there's this thing where you go talk to this guy. I think it's I forgot the route name, but it's basically the big fisherman house in the game. And he tells you that
the route east of Lumios, I believe.
Yes, the route where you can find Pumpkaboo, I guess.
Yeah.
He tells you that, if you're in the specific corner of the water, and you keep fishing, there's a increased rate of finding a special Pokemon, which would be shiny Pokemon. And basically what you do is you're going to want to find a part in the water that kind of blocks you from going forward, I guess, is the way to say it. So, for me personally, I go to Silage City, and you go to the left of Silage City, all the way to the left. And in that water right there, you can find there's a spot at the top left that's kind of squarish, and you could... fish right there, and after a while of fishing, you can run into a shiny Pokemon. Basically, what you need is a Pokemon with suction cups to make sure that you get the Pokemon, because that's what suction cups does outside of battle.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And you probably want Pokemon with Illuminate, too. So if you have a Staryu, that's also useful. That increases the rate of shiny Pokemon too, which is even better because it won't always go through. And basically, you just run into a Pokemon and run away, run into a Pokemon and run away, and maybe at least 20 to 30 encounters later, if you're paying attention, you might run into a shiny Pokemon.
Hmm.
Just the higher times you've encountered a Pokemon, the more you can run into a shiny.
Yeah.
I found a shiny Lovedisc, Corsola, Gorbis, all through chain fishing.
Shiny Lovedisc is pretty cute.
What color is it?
Yellow, goldish.
Gold, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Also, Carbink is defense and special defense for anybody who actually wanted to know. Whoa, what was that?
That's chain fishing.
There's like a loud sound, like a what's that? Chain fishing.
Chain fishing is kind of annoying because it's very specific, and I might have not explained it right. But once you get the hang of it, it's actually pretty easy, and it's easy to lose concentration because you're just focused on something else and
and just run away from shiny Pokemon.
Yeah, and you're just like so used to your habits, and you just run away from a shiny Pokemon, or you just miss the initial, like, oh, it's on the line, or you reel it in too quickly, or you just have, like, that twitchy A-button finger like I do.
Gosh, I think that's the last of my little tipskies. Do either of you have anything so let our listeners know how to make the most of their copy of Pokemon X and Y?
It's not really, like, a secret, but it's something a lot of people overlook. In your bag, there is a clock icon. Everyone I talk to about this doesn't know it's there, so I figured it might as well be worth mentioning. Like, say you use a lot of, like, items to breed, and you're constantly giving your Pokemon other items and, like, resorting your bag so they're not at the top. There's a button that looks like a clock. If you hit it, it'll show you all of the items you've used recently.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, it'll be like, you know, Hyper Potion, Pokeball, TM37, like, all in one, like, bag slot. It just shows you all the items that you've used recently, and it's really nice if you're looking for something that you just use.
Cool. Andy, any tips?
Well, not really. That's usually all that I do. I have over 300 hours into the game, and I can't really think of anything.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sure once we're done, I'll... about five different things.
Oh, a breeding tip, I guess. Did we talk about the Destiny Not thing at all on the show recently?
We might have, but I mean, it's good to reiterate that.
Okay, so basically, Destiny Not has changed in Gen 6. Before, it would only pass down, I think, 2 IVs?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
2 IVs from either of the parents. And now in X and Y, it'll pass down 6, all 6 IVs.
5.
No, it passes down 5.
All 5 IVs from either of the parent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what it'll do is, you know, because you have 12 stats 12 total. Altogether.
Yeah.
And it'll take 5 of those and put them in the baby.
Yeah, that's better than the Gen 4 change. So that's a thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, Destiny Not is like your best.
And you can get the Destiny Knot from... Does anybody know? You can actually get 2 of them in the game.
Yeah, you can get... Actually, you can get multiple if you fight. I think they're Beauties, the trainer class that does it. When you just, like, run around in Lumios, you'll find people sometimes that want to battle you. I know there are, like, trainer classes that include, like, owner, like, the restaurant owner, chef.
Yeah.
Punk guy, punk girl, beauty. You can get multiple Destiny Knots from the random beauties that show up.
By like, how? Just by like, you know, taking it off one of their Pokemon, like with these?
No.
Or do they just give it to you?
They'll give it to you.
Oh.
Usually it's the one, there's a specific one that talks about like meeting somebody in Lumios and missing him or something.
Oh, right, yep.
And whenever you beat her, you get a Destiny Knot from her.
Hmm.
Were the other locations you were going to say, Andrew?
There's a hotel. I forgot which the name of the hotel is, but I think it's this name that gives you a Destiny Knot. So if you want to go looking through the hotels for a Destiny Knot, there's a maid at the top floor of one of them that gives you a Destiny Knot.
It's true.
Cool. We're going to take a break.
Oh.
And then we're going to talk about Pokemon of the Week. So we'll see you in a little bit. And we are back. We're going to talk about the Pokemon of the Week, which is, stay with me, Pumpkaboo is the ghost grass type Pokemon. It is seen sort of as a duo with the aforementioned Phantump. We're going to talk about Pumpkaboo from Bulbapedia. Pumpkaboo is a bipedal Pokemon that resembles a pinkish pumpkin. The pumpkin body has a pair of circular holes carved out of its rind that resembles eyes. The ghostly body that lives in the pumpkin is black with a pointy collar, yellowish eyes, and no visible pupils, a pair of fangs, curved ears, and a curled stem. According to the anime, Pumpkaboo can release light from the holes on its body, making it similar to a flashlight.
Oh, you know, a jack-o'-lantern. Thanks, Bulbapedia.
Thanks. Let's see, trivia. One piece of trivia. Pumpkaboo's super... right, that's a thing we should mention. Pumpkaboo comes in different sizes. Each of them... having the same stats as Pumpkaboo, I thought that they had the same stats as Pumpkaboo, but evolved differently. But no, that's incorrect. The larger the Pumpkaboo, the lower its speed, but higher its HP. And I believe that's the only difference. Gorgeist, its evolution works the same way.
Oh, the supersized Pumpkaboo has a different cry than the other ones. FYI.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's a deeper cry.
Oh.
Huh.
Good to know. And, yeah, that's cool.
It's a ghost grass type. And that's like, I think it's the first, is it?
Yeah, it's the first ghost.
Along with, Phantom.
That's like my dream type.
Ghost grass? Would you be a ghost grass type?
Ghost poison.
Ah, because you're twitter.com/Venoshock.
Yeah.
So you're just Gengar?
Yeah.
Hey. Whatever.
Whatever.
Thoughts on how adorable Pumpkaboo is?
Pumpkaboo is the cutest Pokemon.
Pretty cute.
I think so. Adorbs. Totes adorbs.
I like how its feet model kind of bobs.
Yeah. I like how it learns an attack called Trick or Treat.
I was just about to say that.
What does Trick or Treat do? Can you all remind me?
It adds ghost.
Yeah. That sounds right. It adds ghost type to the target.
The description does not make any sense. The user takes the target trick or treating. This adds ghost type to the target type. like the battle stopped and they're going to go to houses and trick or treat.
Yes.
Like, that's really what I imagine. Like, you take like 2 hours out of the battle.
You have to set your 3DS down.
Because they went trick or treating.
Yeah.
You have to set your 3DS down, turn it upside down, evolve your NK.
Contrary to popular belief, it gives actual added third type of ghost to Pokemon. So now you have three types to deal with on top of a ghost if you're a dual type.
Wow.
So they do work differently than Soak, though. Soak just changes the type to Mono Water.
And Forest's Curse, which is the move that can be learned by Phantomp and Trevenant, does that add grass?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. And if you use either one of the moves on a Pokemon that's been targeted by the other, it replaces that third type. So I guess, would it be possible to... Could you make a Pokemon 6 times weak to a type?
Yes.
Theoretically.
In theory.
So what would... you could add... you could add... grass type to a Scizor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Yep. If you really want to kill that Scizor with Ember. Flame Charge, with Ember.
actually, it probably would die Ember.
Yeah. So that's a fun thing you can do. Any more thoughts on Pumpkaboo before we wrap up the show?
Nope. I think I'm good.
Its evolution was the first Pokemon I saw that wasn't spoiled for me in X and Y.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gorgeist is pretty awesome. Gorgeist is one of my favorites of Kalos.
I think Gorgeist and Alug were the only ones I weren't spoiled about. Which is kind of sad if you think about it.
Yeah. I was able to avoid most of it.
Yeah, I was pretty spoiler-free, too.
I thought you were going to say, I was pretty spoiled as a child.
Well, I am just always pretty spoiled. I'm appreciative, though.
It's true, you are appreciative.
Very appreciative.
Kenny, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at SuperBayleaf. And don't ever be afraid to talk to me about anything, because I'll talk for days. And then
he's
you can't
good
shut up.
Kenny is a good tweeter. You're a good tweeter.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So are you.
Thank you.
Andrew, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter. At Venoshock.
Yeah, you cut out a little bit there. It's at Venoshock for anyone who missed that. Just like the Pokemon move.
What did it cut out to sound like?
It sounded like you said at Ock.
At Ock. Twitter.com/Ock.
Yeah, you can
find him anywhere.
Yeah, and you can follow my Pokemon YouTube show at Battle Arcade. We're working on that episode. It takes a lot of work. Please understand.
Please subscribe. Please understand.
Like,
please
subscribe.
Understand. Please like, comment, subscribe, and understand.
Oh, especially going for more of an Awada. Please understand.
Oh, okay.
There's an understand button. Check this button to acknowledge that you understand.
You can find me at twitter.com/thetravisw. And you can follow the show at twitter.com/pokemonpodcast, facebook.com/pkmncast. The usual host of the show is SBJ. His handle is twitter.com/draggingalake.
Oh, the Tumblr.
Yeah, Diglettcave.tumblr.com is the Pokemon Tumblr run by the site by Saul, one of our Saul favorite King. fellas. Well, gosh, I think that. Well, gosh, George. I think that's it. That's how the show ends, right?
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
Get along, little doggy. That's it. And then the show just stops.
This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast. We are
Super Bailey.
Perfective.
It's super effective. It's super.
We did it.
They're super effective.
We saved the dinosaurs.
We saved the dinosaurs.